Radio Prague News.
Heightened security measures in the Czech Republic will remain in place for the time being. A member of the governing board of the central bank says the Greek crisis will not directly influence the Czech Republic. And legendary Czech footballer Josef Masopust has died at the age of 84. Heightened security at key sites in the Czech Republic will remain largely in place following terrorist attacks last Friday, which killed dozens of people in Tunisia, Kuwait, and France. The decision was taken after a roughly two-hour meeting of the country's National Security Council, this on Sunday evening. Interior Minister Milan Chovanec said the one exception where extra measures would be lifted would be at Czech branches of the American firm Air Products. The company's factory in Lyon, France, was targeted on Friday and one person murdered, but it is thought the attacker was acting alone and not within a broader network. In the Czech Republic, heightened security will remain in place, quote, as long as required. The Greek financial crisis will not have a direct impact on the Czech Republic, at least this according to Czech Central Bank governing board member Lubomír Lízal. According to the board member, stress tests have shown that the Czech financial sector is resilient to adverse shocks. The statement was made at the annual General Assembly of the Bank for International Settlements. Indirect impacts via the Eurozone are likely, but Mr. Lízal explained that Euro area officials had made efforts to settle the crisis. Last week, talks between Greece and Eurozone countries over bailout terms ended without an agreement, and the Greek Prime Minister then called for a referendum on the issue that is to be held at the end of this week. The first weekend of the summer holidays was a tragic one on Czech roads. 12 people lost their lives in traffic accidents. The number is higher by 5 than the same period last year. Accidents involved not only cars but also other motor vehicles. One 46-year-old died from injuries suffered when he was thrown over the handlebars of an electric bike. A one-year project entitled Invisible Minorities being organized by the Czech NGO Proud is aimed at teaching some of the issues faced by gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transsexuals at the elementary and secondary school levels, as well as offering seminars for experts. This according to the coordinator of the project, Ruth Dvořáková, speaking to journalists on Monday. The project began in April and will cost less than £1 million, most of which are to come from Norwegian funding. Around 800 students from elementary and high schools are expected to take part in the seminar. A second part will focus on the lives and problems of seniors. The trial of Petr Kramný, accused of murdering his wife and daughter during their vacation in Egypt 2 years ago, began on Monday at the regional court in Ostrava. According to expert analysis, there are two versions of how the Czech man may have killed his wife and child, both via electrocution. The deaths were initially put down to poisoning. Mr. Kramný, who has denied the charges, could face a life sentence if found guilty. Josef Masopust, the Czech football legend who led Czechoslovakia to the final of the 1962 World Cup, has died at the age of 84. The club of Josef Masopust's friends revealed that he died in his home on Monday. The former midfielder, who was named Best European Player in 1962, is best remembered for his opening goal in the 1962 World Cup final against favourites Brazil. Brazil won that match 3-1. As a player, Masopust made 63 international appearances and was named the best Czech footballer of the century in the year 2000. In sport, Czech cyclist Leopold Koenig has been named as one of 9 riders for Sky who will compete in this year's Tour de France. According to reports, the team leader is the UK's Chris Froome, who last year was forced to withdraw from the competition early. This year's Tour will be Czech racer Koenig's 4th. Last year, the rider finished 7th in the overall standings. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, The latest terrorist attacks in Tunisia and elsewhere have sparked stepped-up Czech security steps. We've a roundup of the latest sports news, and we pay tribute to footballing legend Josef Mazepist, who died today. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Heightened security measures are in place at Czech airports, railway stations, foreign embassies and other key institutions in the wake of Friday's terrorist attacks in France, Kuwait and Tunisia. A meeting of the country's National Security Council on Sunday night assessed potential threats to the country's security and measures to deal with the ongoing migrant crisis. Daniela Lazarova has the details.
Like other countries in Europe, the Czech Republic stepped up security at key institutions around the country in the wake of Friday's deadly terrorist attacks. While the country's intelligence services reported no immediate threat to the Czech Republic, the strict security measures affected on Friday will remain in place until further notice. The Czech Foreign Ministry has also urged tourists travelling to Tunisia to exercise extreme caution. Special measures have also been enforced in connection with a growing number of illegal migrants on Czech territory. Since the beginning of this year, the authorities have detained 2,500 illegal migrants, a 40% increase on last year, and with every passing month, their numbers have been growing. The vast majority are from Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan, and they're using the country as a transit destination on the way to Western Europe, predominantly Germany. The pressure on the country's police and asylum facilities has been mounting by the day, and the government is preparing for a scenario whereby the country could take in several hundred, possibly up to 1,000 migrants, to help alleviate the pressure on Italy and Greece. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said on Sunday the country must be prepared, both for the responsibility of taking in several hundred migrants legally and a likely worsening of the situation with a flow of illegal migrants in connection with Greece's financial problems. The police, he said, could not be expected to handle the pressure alone.
We will need to have a network of people on standby in the event of an emergency, customs officials, prison security guards, and, as a last resort, the army. The police will have to say at what point they will need help in dealing with the flow of illegal migrants.
At present, these plans are merely on paper. Right now, the authorities are detaining on average 15 illegal migrants a day. Should their numbers double, special measures will be taken to boost security along the country's borders with Slovakia and Austria. Already, police are patrolling the country's main road and rail connections from east to west, checking IDs on international buses and trains. Should the situation worsen, police officers from other regions would be called on as reinforcements. Another problem is the country's limited asylum facilities, which can only house around 700 people. At present, there are some 300 vacant beds in these facilities, and the government is looking around for a new site that would fulfill the necessary requirements. A facility in Vyšné Lhoty, North Moravia, will most likely be put into service. It would provide up to 600 new beds and would be divided into a refugee camp for those waiting to be deported and those who have filed for asylum in the Czech Republic. Meanwhile, the government is already considering the financial impact of the refugee crisis, both in terms of facilities, specialists and more officers in the field. The police president has asked for an additional 10 billion crowns, which would enable the force to increase its riot and foreigner police units.
That was Daniela Lazarova on the security steps that have been taken in recent days. Now I'm joined in the studio by Ian Willoughby for the latest sports news.
We begin today with the very sad news that the great Czech soccer player Josef Mazepist has died at the age of 84. Mazepist was the first of only two Czech players to be named European Player of the Year. The central midfielder picked up that hugely prestigious award in 1962. The same year, he opened the scoring in the World Cup final against Brazil, though his Czechoslovakia side eventually lost 3-1. In an earlier group game against the same opponents, Pelé was injured but stayed on the pitch, Substitutes were not allowed in those days. As Masopust recounted half a century later in 2012, the great Brazilian was flabbergasted when the Czech sportingly ordered his teammates not to attack, as Pelé had been effectively hamstrung.
He said, "The whole of my footballing life, they've treated me like a punch bag. But now I've experienced something beyond my comprehension. From that time, I've had a great relationship with Brazilian supporters. They admire me for that gesture, because Pelé was and is the king to them."
The great Josef Masopust, who died on Monday at the age of 84. Moving on, in line with tradition, defending women's champion Petra Kvitova will play her first round match at Wimbledon on day two of the Tennis Grand Slam on Tuesday. It's the second time the Czech is beginning Wimbledon in that position, though on this occasion it's with a certain handicap. The 25-year-old has been battling with illness. Kvitova says that she's on the road to recovery, but regrets missing the traditional Wimbledon warm-up, Eastbourne.
No, it's not adrenaline.
I still got a head cold, but it's nowhere near as bad as it was. I stayed in bed and was glad I could doze during the day. Luckily, I haven't had to take antibiotics. Not having trained means the nerves and pressure will be greater. Unfortunately, I didn't manage to play a single match, which isn't much of a confidence booster. But I said it's better not to play than to play and lose in the first round.
Of the other Czech ladies in action at the All England Club, the most intense focus is likely to be on Lucia Šafářová. This year has seen the 28-year-old left-hander climb to a career-best sixth in the world rankings and reach her first Grand Slam final at the French Open. Šafářová says her new status means opponents feel they have nothing to lose and play better. But that's been the case since the start of the year, when she climbed to 15th in the rankings, she told Idnes.cz. Finally, Prague's top swimming stadium, Podolí, has just been celebrating the 50th anniversary of its opening. Podolí, which had the country's third covered 50-metre pool, has hosted such competitions as the biannual European Swimming Masters Championships and is used by the country's international swimmers, water polo players and synchronised swimmers. That's all the sport for today.
As you've just heard, Josef Masopust led Czechoslovakia to the World Cup finals in what was probably the highlight of his career in 1962. Masopust gave the team a surprise lead in the final, but Brazil came back to take the trophy. 4 years ago, I looked at the army team, Dukla Prague, in which Masopust served most of his career.
Contraataque de los checos. Masopust la coge, dispara y esta vez sí marca el primer tanto para Czechoslovakia.
Commentary there from the 1962 Football World Cup final in Chile between the cup holders Brazil and the unexpected finalist Czechoslovakia. And even more unexpected was the opening goal from the midfield captain of the Czechoslovak team, Josef Masopust, in the 15th minute. Unfortunately, the score did not stand that way. Almost before Josef Masopust had finished his celebrations, the Brazilians had got one goal back. Two goals for Brazil in the second half before around 70,000 spectators resulted in a final score of 3-1 to the holders. Masopust recalled later that the day of the final was also that of his wife's birthday and he had been hoping for a joint celebration. It was not to be. But for a team that had been written off almost before it arrived in Chile, even defeat in the final was a victory. Perhaps anecdotally, Josef Masopust later recalled that players had been advised not to unpack their bags after their arrival, because they would be leaving soon. For Josef Masopust, even further recognition was to come. He was chosen as European Footballer of the Year, as the holder of the so-called Golden Boot, around 6 months later. Radovan Jelinek is the co-author of a cartographical history of Czech and Czechoslovak football clubs. He had this to say about that European recognition.
It was something exceptional, especially from the point of view of Eastern Bloc, because the other winners, they come from Western countries, or South European. So it was something really, really great from this point of view. Maybe he wasn't as, by a big, big margin, better than some other players, but he won the Golden Boot, and that makes the difference.
Next week, Czech and European football will mark Josef Masopust's 80th birthday on February the 9th. Among other events, a statue of the player will be unveiled in front of Dukla's ground. Other events are also planned, with the promised participation of the player dubbed the European Pelé in the 1960s, Portuguese striker Eusebio. This is what the current head of the Bohemian and Moravian Football Federation and former player Ivan Hašek had to say about the modest midfield star at a recent dinner of Czech footballing greats in his honour.
Tak já si myslím, že pan Masopust by měl být vzor pro všechny generace, které tady kdy vyrůstaly, protože...
I think that Mr. Masopust can be an example for every generation that has grown up here. He is a great advert for this most celebrated sport. For myself as a person, Mr. Masopust is a real example.
Takže pro mě sám osobně lidsky je pan Masopust velký vzor.
But Josef Masopust's story and that of his beloved Dukla Prague is also to some extent that of how football was transformed by the new communist regime to reflect its ideology and priorities. No one, players, managers or even national federation bosses, could escape that. In fact, Dukla Prague's predecessor was initially known as ATK, the Czech abbreviation of the Army Club of Physical Training. It was basically created as the football club of the People's Army. Its entry into the top league was far from orthodox, and the club was also given a clear run to cherry-pick the best players, as Radovan Jelinek describes what happened.
Normally, you would say every club would have to play a qualification, but this wasn't really the case of Dukla Prague, or ATK was the name before Dukla Prague was adopted as a name. Also, in that time, in the late 40s, the other top clubs were instructed to allow Dukla Prague to pick any of their players, and they had to transfer to Dukla Prague. So I think from these days of point of view, something extremely strange, something unacceptable. So this was the start of Dukla Prague, and once they could have the best players from other clubs, like 7 players from Slavia and 5 from Bohemians and so on. So they could really dominate Czech or Czechoslovak football.
Enthusiastic communist minister of defence after 1950, Alexei Čepička, who also doubled up as the son-in-law of the people's president, Clement Gottfried, was largely responsible for turning the club into the army's sporting flagship. Josef Masopust, the oldest son of a miner from the former Sudeten town of Most, or Brooks in German, had already joined the league club Teplice at the age of 18 in 1949. When army service beckoned 2 years later, he was transferred to ATK and performed his military service there as a player. His first call-up to the national team came in 1952. That same year, the club won its first title, the Czech Cup. A year later, ATK was renamed UDA, or the Central House of the Army, and in that season won its first league championship. In 1956, the Dukla name was introduced in honour of the Slovak village that withstood a Nazi onslaught during World War II. The club won the championship again, in one game beating the forerunner of today's Sparta Prague, 9-0. There followed a run of league victories from 1961 to 1964. Dukla Prague also began to make its mark on the European club stage. In the European Champions Cup, the club reached the quarterfinals each time. While Dukla found it could beat less European clubs, it was beaten by the likes of English top club Tottenham Hotspur, Benfica Lisbon and Borussia Dortmund. In his 1967 book, 10 Golden Balls, published by the army publisher Our Armed Forces, Josef Masopust complained of the club's loss of 3 top attackers in 1963 to injury and other Czechoslovak teams. He observed that if the same had happened to any West European club, they would simply have gone out on the transfer market and bought replacements. He implied that there was not a level playing field at European level. Dukla, he moaned, had to wait for some promising youngster to have to perform his army service or train up a replacement from the existing ranks. According to this version of events, Dukla seems to have lost its ability to take its pick from the best of Czechoslovak players, or clearly even this selection was not sufficient at a European level. Even so, Dukla enjoyed a series of cup wins at home at the end of the 1960s and reached the semi-finals of the European Cup in the 1966-67 season, beating the likes of Belgium's Anderlecht and Ajax Amsterdam on the way. The club went down to the eventual winners of the competition, Glasgow Celtic. Masopust himself went on to take the player-manager position at Belgium club KVV Molenbeek in 1968 at the ripe age of 37 years old. He helped the second division club win promotion to the Belgian first division. But according to Mr. Jelinek, the foreign engagement came at the price of a compromising relationship with the regime. Although Masopust's working-class background made him a favourite of the authorities, he was only allowed to play abroad towards the end of his career. Understandably, the regime was nervous about taking such a step with younger players, whatever their class background. After the two-year Belgian stay, Masopust came back home to management positions. He won the league with Brojovska Brno in 1978, but otherwise had a mixed management record. But Dukla Prague's roots as an army club made it unpopular with ordinary football supporters. Some football fans would turn out when foreign teams came to play on the big occasions, but they stayed away for the run-of-the-mill league games.
People never liked Dukla Prague because when you have a look at the attendances, for example, they never had the gate of the other clubs. Despite sometimes they won the league, but still they have the lowest attendance. For example, in the season 1965-66, they won the league, but their average gate was 9,000, while the likes of Sparta or Slavia was 24,000. And the average was something like 12 or 13,000, so they were the lowest attendance. They have been winning titles in the 80s with a gate of 1,500 spectators.
For many officially backed organisations, the Velvet Revolution that toppled communism brought a sea change in fortunes. The club was relegated from the top league in the 1993-1994 season. The club was bought by a Slovak businessman, merged with another club, bounced back temporarily to the top flight, and then was involved in a long drawn-out battle over the Dukla name and heritage. According to Mr. Jelinek, much of the club's valuable sporting heritage, including cups and sporting memorabilia, has disappeared during these disputes. Dukla now tops the Czech second division with a real chance of making it back into the top flight. What aspect of the club's mixed history might follow it remains to be seen. That edition of Czech History was first broadcast in 2011, and we repeat it now in homage to Josef Masopust. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, that's all for now. Thanks very much for joining us, and goodbye.